Republican leaders in the state are calling on state Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from a lawsuit involving Act 10. It's Wednesday, January 29th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, President Trump caused confusion after pausing federal funding, and now Wisconsin is joining a lawsuit opposing that move. And many community members are upset that a Waupaca hospital providing labor and delivery services will soon close. Stay with us.
We have your drive time covered with the best of NPR and WPR.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
All things considered. From NPR.
Report from the Labor Department this morning shows U.S. employers added 175,000.
The economy is the top issue for Wisconsin voters.
We are hearing border stories.
And over the past few years, young voters in Wisconsin have turned out in high numbers.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
Wisconsin Republicans are calling for Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from a lawsuit about Act 10. As Anya Van Wagendonk reports, they argue she prejudged the case long ago.
Act 10 ended collective bargaining rights for most public employees. Now the law is back in court, where the state Supreme Court will have the final say. And Wisconsin Republicans say Protasiewicz shouldn't be part of that decision. Before Protasiewicz was a justice, she protested that law and has said she thought it was unconstitutional. Derek Klinger is an attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says justices must recuse if they've made a commitment to rule in one way or another, but
judges and candidates do have a First Amendment right to announce their views on legal or political issues.
If Protasiewicz recused, the decision would be made by six justices, evenly divided between liberal and conservative. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Local governments in Wisconsin are racing to understand how they could be impacted by President Donald Trump's decision to pause federal funding. On Monday, Trump's budget office told federal agencies to temporarily halt funding to determine if spending might be impacted by executive orders which ban things like diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The directive sowed lots of confusion. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson told reporters that there are tens of millions of dollars at stake for the city, but he said the directive raises questions they don't have answers for.
At the same time, I'm working with other local units of government, as well as with organizations that represent municipalities, in order to strategize on how to mitigate the potential damage a funding pause might cause.
Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that Wisconsin is joining a coalition of states suing to stop the action from taking effect. A federal judge issued an order Tuesday afternoon blocking the freeze from taking effect through Monday. The Theta Care Hospital in Waupaca will stop providing labor and delivery services on February 15th. That decision sparked anger and frustration in the community. In a statement, Theta Care said it's working with patients to organize birthing services at other locations. Russell Budkowitz is a retired doctor who moved to the Waupaca area in 1990 to work at the hospital, and he became emotional when talking about the closure.
It's going to be awful. And my heart goes out to the medical staff because it's going to tear them apart.
The decision comes as birthing centers have closed at rural hospitals across the country. A national policy center found more than half the rural hospitals in the United States do not offer labor and delivery services. During the Vietnam War, the American military secretly recruited fighters in Laos to aid in a fight against communist forces. As Sarah Lear reports, a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers now wants to give those soldiers official recognition as veterans.
Officials estimate there's as many as 1,000 Hmong refugees in Wisconsin who fought for the U.S. during what was known as the Secret War in Laos. And Republican State Senator Andre Jacques says they deserve recognition.
These brave soldiers provided vital intelligence, air rescue for downed American pilots, and direct engagement in combat operations in service to our country at the cost of tens of thousands of lives.
Jacques is among the sponsors of legislation which would extend state-level veterans benefits to those fighters. A similar bill died last session, but Governor Tony Evers did sign separate legislation last year, which allows Hmong former soldiers to list veteran status on their driver's licenses. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a few months ago, WPR's Wisconsin Life and the Chippewa Valley Writers Guild hosted a live storytelling event in Eau Claire. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from one community member from the region about her favorite dish to eat and now make. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about food and family.
Cooking and eating traditional family dishes can be the highlight of a person's year. For writer Yia Lor of Eau Claire, that beloved dish is egg rolls. She shared a story about her love of wrapping the crunchy snack at a live Wisconsin Life storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely.
Once a year, or twice if we're lucky, my parents would set aside a whole day to make egg rolls. At least a crispy 100 or two. All 6 kids would gather around the kitchen table where my parents took turns mixing bean thread noodles, pork, shredded cabbage and carrots, and bits of cilantro and onion. When the mixture was perfect, there was the tedious task of wrapping. And despite our pleas, only my parents were allowed to wrap. They couldn't afford to have egg rolls with too much air or torn wraps go into the fryer, for those would burst open and ruin the oil. As I got older, my parents stopped making egg rolls because of how time-consuming it was. That's not all, though. In the middle of wrapping and frying, someone had to make the peanut sauce, and no one could ever remember where the peanuts were. Egg rolls were one of my favorite childhood snacks, so I eventually picked up the tradition of making them at least twice a year, 3 times if we were lucky. Without fail, I always selected the hottest days of the year, and despite the groans, my family pitched in. As the years went on, though, people moved away, got busy with school and jobs, and had to tend to children. I would show up to my parents' home with all the ingredients, only to find myself wrapping on my own and even deep frying, too. In time, I found my own rhythm and became the fastest wrapper in my family, averaging 2 egg rolls every minute. I could single-handedly produce 100, sometimes even 200. During one of those times, my 5-year-old niece proudly announced she was helping too. I was hesitant for all the reasons my parents did not let me wrap growing up. My niece was eager to learn though, and I could use another set of hands. After teaching her how to scoop the perfect amount of mixture, we practiced folding in corners, gently squeezing to release air bubbles, and sealing to ensure nothing came undone. We made a few before I let her continue on her own. And as she attempted to fold and roll, I caught her looking at my hands, producing 1 egg roll after another. I leaned over and whispered, "Guess who's the fastest egg roll wrapper?" My niece answered, "Grandma." I shook my head and pointed to myself, "That yeah." "How did you get so fast?" she asked. "I've had many years of practice," I responded. There was a pause. "How old were you when you first started rapping?" I thought about it. "Probably in my early 20s. My niece marveled. "I'll be faster than you someday, That yeah, because I started when I'm 5. My niece has helped me wrap almost every single batch I've made. Together, we discovered how to make extra crunchy egg rolls by double wrapping. One time, my niece proudly handed me an egg roll that she had triple wrapped. And indeed, it was the crunchiest. We've made egg rolls in the shapes of squares and triangles. We've also invented a game where we stuff a few egg rolls with a large chunk of carrot. Winner bites the crunch. Someday, I look forward to my niece surpassing my record of being the fastest egg roll wrapper. Maybe she'll start a tradition of making egg rolls at least 3 times a year. If we're lucky, 4.
Yalore shared that piece on egg rolls at a live storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely. It was hosted by WPR's Wisconsin Life and the Chippewa Valley Writers Guild. To hear Laura's full story and learn why she wanted to share it with listeners, go to wisconsinlife.org or check out the Wisconsin Life podcast. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that's a wrap for this Wednesday. Quick check of weather before we let you go. Going to be windy today, but not as bad as the past few days. And it'll still be pretty warm, with high temperatures in the upper 20s in the north and the low 40s in the south. Mix of sunshine and clouds throughout the state today as well. And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Send us that feedback. We always love hearing from you. You can email us at newscasts@wpr.org, or of course, just leave that rating and review wherever you're listening now on your favorite podcast app. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.